Welcome to It'll Go to Penalties with now the most inappropriate theme tune of the World Cup nowadays. It's a real shame, but there you go. What can you say? Mark Webster here alongside me, a beautiful cross-section of football club supporting, and also, therefore, I think international players. A regular contributor to the Manchester United Redcast, unitedredcast.com, and a regular contributor to the Liverpool podcast, not just a matter of life and death, liverpoolpodcast.com. In Michael Smiley, good evening.
Hello there, Mark. How you doing?
And you are of what persuasion when you're
I'm Northern Irish sides? Of a Man United persuasion.
That would
so
make
you can guess why.
Yeah, that's right. I put two and two together right then. So I did.
Norman Whiteside
and Gordon Southern.
Hello,
sir. And you are
a Liverpool fan by way of Essex. It's a long story involving Kenny Dalglish coming to my Asda when I was seven.
Good.
What is?
In a good way.
Yeah.
Maybe I should expand. He signed my Liverpool FC lampshade, which
right.
He was sort of contractually obliged to do, but also my Star Wars lampshade, which he didn't have to do.
I just assumed.
Ruined
just
that,
a nice
he?
Guy.
I thought it was just like a short term career as a trolley pusher there, but he then went on to football greatness. But I'll obviously miss that.
I think he was already playing a bit of football.
He was doing all right, wasn't he?
While sniffing around the Asda vacancies.
Gents, we've got to pick through the bones of it still, of England, because I need to see both your takes on it. But by way of getting into it, on the back of the Evening Standard today as we sit here recording, O2 show axed as Rooney, Gerrard pull out, multi-million pound skills challenges off as England flops say it's inappropriate. Now,
to have the festival of football at the O2 Arena.
Well, the good thing is, I think that means Lee Evans now keeps the record of having the biggest comedy show at the arena, which is, so that's got to be good news, isn't it, really? But the word inappropriate, the idea of a skills show also kind of works quite nicely for me as well. I don't know about you lot, but the fallout, I suppose. Okay, let's look at it on this level. First up, there is the issue of the fact that, of course, you know, we stunk the place up and we deserve to come home. But what about the fallout? Because we are now looking at a bunch of footballers who are staring into a new season with, I feel, trepidation, don't you?
I think.
Well,
possibly,
before we go any further, what do you mean, we, Kimo Sabich?
Well, okay, I'm now going to. Yes, that's right. That was a terribly inappropriate thing because, of course, as you say, you have still have some footballs in the cup, and you're not a we. Does that make us a royal we?
No, a complete royal we.
That's right. I thought I was. That's what I was doing. Okay, I'll step off of that there. In that case, Mike, as, you know, from a distant point of view, I'll ask you first. Then, what do you think about the prospects for these fellas? You know, is life in the Premiership going to make sense for a lot of these aged failures?
I think it's ridiculous the way England played. Number one, coming back, they deserve everything they get, and I think they should be hanging their heads in shame. So it'll be hilarious to see, you know, Ghanaian players who are playing for Wigan and Hull having a good laugh.
Yeah.
You know, they've went further than the Rooneys and the Gerrards and the Lampards of England. I think it's hilarious because, you know, for whatever reason, we'll probably get into the reasons later, still, you know, you can't blame the ball, you can't blame the manager. He's just played shite.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that would cover it. That does cover it. I mean, that's interesting what Michael says, though, I think, Gordon, is the fact that I've got a funny feeling that we as football fans now may just have a way about us where we'll really embrace some of those fellas from different climes who have done well at the World Cup.
Embrace them. We'll sign them.
Yeah, well, that's particularly
make
that
the
as
Premier
well.
League pretty much, you know, Englishman free.
But I've got to say,
but where will they go?
Well, this is the point. I mean, I'm just, you know, as a West Ham fan, I've got
Turkey.
Turkey's a good place to go. But as a West Ham, I don't imagine Matthew Upson's going to have any respite. He's going to have. He probably thinks for at least half the games at Upton Park, I won't get booed. I believe he'll get booed at home. I think he's got 42 games of being booed.
And he's joint top scorer.
I was going to say,
that's true.
Know, he was responsible for one of the goals, but he was also responsible for scoring one of the goals as well. You know what I mean? So at least he can put his head slightly to the side.
Yeah, he can.
So he's neither in credit nor overdrawn.
He's there.
He just has an account.
He's not underwhelmed or overwhelmed. He's just pretty
he's
much
whelmed.
Whelmed. He's whelmed.
He cancelled out his own equation in a mathematical style. Go, you really saw one of the England games in the strangest of circumstances, didn't you?
I had the most convoluted and the ignominy of it. As a Liverpool fan, I found myself doing some gigs in Mumbai, India, and it was in a big sort of shopping complex. The Comedy Store is there. I've said it now. And next to it, the only bar that was showing the game was the Manchester United Cafe. Now, as you might know, Smiley, Manchester United.
We love a cup of coffee.
Good mates, like hanging out.
Yeah, yeah, you're more than welcome.
Shooting the
breeze. Do you like the full range of coffees?
Full range of coffees, right. Yeah, from the Wingin' Scouser to the latte.
Yeah, good boy. We
love them all.
I like the Rainbow Alliance of coffee that Manchester United fans are now into. That's good news.
So anyway, the whole sort of Lancashire thing was up there. And then I get to the Manchester United cafe. I buy a bottle of London Pride beer, about 330 centilitres for £10.
Yeah.
This is in India, where you can eat for a week for £10. And because of the Mumbai monsoon rains, the satellite had been, I don't know, filled with water, the dish. So they had to watch the game, not on the big screen watching ESPN, but watching a French website, all sort of stop motion, jerky robot dancing, with the ball appearing, disappearing, turning up somewhere else. And after about 20 minutes, the commentary sort of, they went, oh, this commentary is a bit rubbish. None of us speak French. So they just put on some house music. Because that's what Man United fans like.
Yeah. While sipping a cappuccino.
Yeah. We've been mad for it for years, mate. We're bang on the lattes, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
So I then jumped in a taxi to go back to my hotel, where I watched it in the Dublin. The five-star hotel's take on an Irish bar with two Pakistani people who really wanted me to respect their privacy and a gleefully racist Australian man.
Oh, yeah. You can take racism into the tropics, isn't it? Just, you know, you can wear shorts all year round.
It's, but it sounds like my England-Algeria game. How about yours, Mike? It's the same thing. Hey, listen, before we go on, and I'm glad we talked about coffee, like, for no apparent reason, because I have in my hand here a coffee cup with the last two teams available, which is your opportunity, courtesy of Paddy Power, for you to get a £20 bet on the winner of this very tournament.
May I go first?
A lot of the guests here on It'll Go Penalties have all got one.
For listeners at home, Michael has gone first.
He has.
Alright.
It's always like that weird bit when there's only two balls left in the bag at the end for the cup draw, which always feels just like something
we'll play
exercise.
Port Vale.
Yeah.
That lovely moment.
Oh. Go on, Mike, who you got?
Number 14.
Stenhouse Muir.
That's uncanny. I've got Hamilton Academicals.
Have you?
And they're both 4-1, which is almost more amazing, really, isn't it?
Ironically coming back from India as well. Anyway.
What? Hey?
He'll probably have to walk us back through that one. Yeah. No, so who you got there?
Need to see that again in slow mo.
You've got. Okay. Oh, you literally have. Oh, see, that's why I thought that was hilarious, but it was actually just true.
Although I do like that because it's true.
Although you've actually not got Stenhouse Muir. You've got some bloke who appears to be called Stenhouse Muir, because whoever wrote this out has put a space between Stenhouse and Muir. Stenhouse Muir does sound like an old 19th century, you know, like a bit of Victorian centre half or somebody.
Is Muir Victorian stage. English for wanderers? I've got Germany at 71. 71.
Oh, seven. That's not bad. That's £140 of course, at £20. This would seem an appropriate moment then to bring in Mike Lee, our betting expert, because of course it's all changed as Mike makes his way to the thing named after him. How is it all going on out there, Mike, with the odds, sir?
Hello, everyone. It's quite interesting, sort of what people are sort of betting on now. It's quite sad. The big thing that English fans are betting on now is who's going to be the referee in the World Cup final. And the English fans have rallied around Howard Webb. You can now get 7-4 that Howard Webb, who to me is a bit of a wretch being a Tottenham fan, and he's done some awful things to Spurs the last couple of seasons. 7-4. He's come in from... he was a bit of an outsider. Now, the guy that made the awful Rick, the Lampard disallowed goal, his name is Jorge Larionda. He was one of the favourites to he was one of the favourites to referee the final. He's now gone out to 150-1. So if you go to paddypower.com/worldcup, sign up, you will get, courtesy of us, a free £20 bet. Now you might want to have that on who's the referee is, or this is a good one: England play Hungary on August 11th. You can have a bet on how many people are going to bother to show up.
Right? Does that include the team?
Will it make 11?
Yeah, if they get 11 men out. That's right. Yeah, between 7 and it's a spread bet between 7 and 9. Yeah.
So there you are. The favourite is 7-4, 60,000 to 70,000, they reckon. You're 10-3, you can have less than 50,000. And I know there's a lot of protests, people sort of think, don't show up. The other good big bet at the moment now, because we're sort of quarter final stages, who are the finalists going to be? Favourite, Brazil will play Argentina 4-1. Spain will play Brazil 9-2. Brazil, Germany 6-1. Argentina, Holland 9-1. Outsider, obviously, Brazil v Paraguay 25-1. And finally, the other interesting bet at the moment is player of the tournament. Now, what do you all reckon beforehand? Who do you think, as of now, I know we haven't hit the quarterfinals yet, who do you think has been the player of the tournament?
Messi.
Yeah. Which is interesting, because what I've liked, I don't know about you boys, but what I've liked about Messi is quite how excited he is about as being a member of a team without being directly contributing thus far with a goal. Yeah. And he's all about, because Higuain would arguably make it, because would the top scorer end up being logically the best player?
David Villa, who's on course to be top scorer.
We're interested you say that, because actually Messi and Villa are joint favourites at sevens. Ozil of Germany 8, Higuain in 9. Those are the favourites. Tevez 20-1. Again, if Argentina go on and Tevez scores goals like he did last time, 20-1 now, having that now, free 20 quid bet, I think is the bet of the week, to be quite honest.
To my shame, I thought Ozil was a good bet, but I couldn't pronounce his name, so thank you.
There you are. So that's it. If you go to paddypower.com/World Cup, sign up, get a free £20 bet, and if you want, you can have your free selection on anything that we've just chatted about.
But poor old Mike got the ghost of Mrs. Stenhouse Muir, which is lovely.
Ghost of the World Cup. Can I have another dip?
No, you're out. That was it.
That was a setup.
That's your lot.
It was a booby shot. Excellent.
I very nearly remember the name of that English linesman as well, which is making Howard Webb look good, because he suddenly is the great white hope, isn't he?
He's like the kingmaker.
He's the bloke who let the Brazilian not be offside the other day, isn't he, and stuff like that.
I didn't realise.
Is it Man? Man, it might be his name. Obviously, let's get IT onto that so that we can give that man his props and we can find out where he lives and what he does for a living.
That'd be lovely.
That's always good, how many kids he's got, the lot. Then, of course, when he gives his first offside against your team, when the season comes round, then you can get back to hating him because he's an assistant to the referee.
Let's set up a website for him.
Let's do that now. Let's build him up and then knock him down in the classic, if you'll pardon the expression again, Michael English way.
Yes.
Now, a lot of the stories that are banging about at the moment, obviously what we're looking at here is, like, you know, how do England improve as a national team? And that's the big deal now that they're moving forward on. Whilst at the same time, there seems to be a lot of implication of scurrying around of English players to avoid the flak by not being playing in the Premiership next come August. The big name at the moment is Ashley Cole, has got to be mooted to go and join Mourinho in Madrid. He's certainly one of the names. I mean, and that would be, I guess, and he has said, to get himself out of the limelight after the big farrago over him and the missus. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, an appalling World Cup campaign might just send him over the edge, perhaps.
Yeah, and was it today in the paper they were saying there's a text from him?
The text was, I hate England and I hate the English.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a Real Madrid job.
That's a farewell and God bless, isn't it?
Yeah. So he'll be welcome in continental Europe, but not back home, I guess.
Yeah, you could always send.
And also, I think there is, finally, because the pound and the euro have nearly got parity, it's less confusing.
Yes. Yeah, true.
Yes, for English players, how much? And they go, well, it's roughly the same. Yeah. All right. Doing the Gerard
but they won't take 50. They're not going to take 50. You know, they're taking 50% wealth tax off of you now. Then suddenly, the joy of being in the Premiership, which has obviously been, you know, why we've had so many different foreign players.
But then
players
wealth
here.
Tax cleaning gob off your Lexus. You've got to weigh it up.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Employ someone. I mean, and of course there are other reasons, because it is suggested, it has been mooted, and it's been one of the, you know, classic kind of like hot text rumour banging about for ages that one of our footballers is going to have to move out of England anyway, because inappropriateness has occurred.
There's been something, a cross between a hurricane and a soap opera being stirred up in the northwest of England. Can we say that much?
Oh, right.
How could you honing it down, Gordon?
Oh, maybe not the northwest. Maybe northwest London. I really can't say anymore.
I've heard this rumour as well. It's a three-pronged rumour. I've heard that if you pardon the pun, there's pregnancy, there's extramarital shagging on on the other side of the pregnancy. One person's got another person pregnant, another one's having sex with somebody else.
God, I'm going to have to write this down. Hold on a second.
In the middle of it, there's to bring it all together in a Shakespearean triumvirate.
Twins?
There's a gangster with a funny nickname.
There's a gangster with a funny nickname. It just sounds like Home and Away is not just a fixture list, but a soap opera.
Well, that's just me. Barcelona. That's
upside down exclamation mark.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And of course, because although we may laugh, and this all could come out in a few weeks' time, if this ends up being true, then the kind of sullen faces knocking around the England camp, there might be certain individual players there who may feel that they've been from a great height upon them for certain double standards applying in the camp.
A lot of people living in greenhouses.
Oh yes, I like that. Yeah,
you like that.
Very good.
It's a stone throwing thing going on there,
and also the whole gangster thing. I have a feeling that Capello was actually flexing his muscles gangster wise with regards to the FA going, are we going to cut him off if he loses? Because towards the end of the Germany game, he bought on Heskey in much the way as a gangster would chop the fingers off a victim to say, look, we're going to put Heskey on, and if you mess me around again, we'll put Heskey on again.
Well, I got a text the other day from the Vatican saying, come home, Agent Capello, job accomplished.
You've taken the heat off the priests.
You weren't meant to get that one, Mike, I suspect. I do like the idea that Moeski is in fact a horse's head.
Mobile when Defoe goes off and Heskey goes on, I go, all bets are off now. That's five goals coming up.
There was a fantastic moment in that.
He's the king of the ricochets, isn't he? The ball just bounces off him towards
him. It's the general idea, exactly. He's a giant human 50 pence piece, isn't he? But they talk about that as being like someone's head. But there was that moment, and it's because he suddenly turned up at that time. It felt like Harry Redknapp ran the full length of the ground, snatched the microphone out of the commentator's hand to say, oh, that's right, we need two goals, so we take Defoe off who scores goals and we bring on Heskey. And then he just seemed to, in my mind's eye, he did make a 100 yard dash, said it, and then ran away again. But I think he was probably asked to be on at that particular time. But just the idea of him sweating in, his armpits sort of like flushed in his
cotton, was quite light blue face when shirt. They cut away to him, certainly.
Well, he starts the day like that, let's be brutally honest, doesn't he? Let's look at the kind of flip side to this argument. May go that given the fact that there's been so much moaning about how the Premiership has kind of turned us into an ineffectual national side, can we see any kind of virtue in our good players playing in Europe?
Absolutely.
To become arguably better players? What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think also there's a, for that reason, if the better, more well-known players go to Europe, get them out of the road, then the youngsters can come through.
True that as well. Yeah, of course. Yeah, so double whammy, that,
definitely,
isn't it?
Because if you look at West Germany, look how old I am.
You're referring to Bavaria.
I love the Prussians.
My eyes on Ceylon next year.
Play up Kenya.
wait a minute. Let's play Old Countries World Cup. Let's get 32 teams together now.
Siam versus Ceylon in the first match. Russia?
Nice.
Abyssinia. We'll play Abyssinia.
No, but I think Germany are the prime example of that. You know, Ballack not being in that team has shown that they, let the youth at them, let the youth play and give them their tail. And they've come through and they've played brilliantly. And I think if, England needs to let go of people like Lampard and Gerrard and all them boys and just actually take a chance and let the youngsters through.
Well, not because with the build up to the European, it's effectively a 2-year build up now, isn't it?
Yeah.
For the European Championships, and that's there's a lot of logic in that, isn't there, Gordon? Because of course, if we are now, if Lampard and Gerrard and as the 30 pluses do decide to stay, then in theory, if they're going to start a European campaign, you'd expect them to finish a European campaign.
They create a sort of thick layer, a crust across the volcano of talent coming up. It's Iceland all over again. At the moment, 20 to 55% of the talent playing in the Premiership are actually from England. And I think maybe they should make that slightly greater. And by getting rid of the old guard, that would happen.
Well, so you could have them on the subs bench, like the Harlem Globetrotters of football, just sitting like there. You know, the youngsters playing really, really well, but yeah, looking like
looking over their shoulders,
cock it up. You know, the rest of them are sitting there, like, you know,
the gifted but slightly paunchy comical players.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of might, but there's no rules against that happening anyway, is there? In real life, you know, there are. You know, there's plenty of national teams who will keep their sort of venerable players around, and they will make 20-minute appearances. It's
like Blanco from Mexico. He's my age, I think.
Exactly. Well, no problem at all. I could give him a run out. Why not? Say I. I think I completely agree. Now, how about this? There's been a great quote from so-called Dr. Andrew Murray, who, when he's not obviously being, you know, a spotty tennis player, he's also apparently a research fellow in neuroscience at Cambridge University, who has said that altitude training affects the muscles, therefore they appeared tired, but it also makes the blood sludgier.
Ah, sludgy blood.
Sludgy blood. The old sludgy blood excuse.
Ah, it's a sludgy blood.
Comes forward again. But, of course, if we look around, particularly you two gentlemen's teams, that, you know, there's footballers out there who seem to be doing remarkably well without worrying about a great long Premiership season under their belt.
Yeah, but also there's been players like, you know, this complaint that, you know, they're tired, they've had a long campaign in the Premiership.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
You know, again, Tevez, he doesn't train that much. He turns up and he's doing brilliantly, you know what I mean?
Well, he's had a long campaign in the Premiership, mostly on the bench, because yes, Man City have an embarrassment of strikers.
But okay, well, does the argument stand up because Torres has looked ordinary?
Well, he has been
far.
An embarrassing striker, so yeah, maybe.
So perhaps
he wasn't quite back to full fitness after his knock in April.
Right, so I guess so. People are right. So there could be legitimacy to the argument, the fact that, you know, we've basically just got some dog-tired footballers out there trying to represent their country and just, like, you know, one last heave-ho before they can have a 10-minute sit-down and the new season starts.
Well, I just think it was, for me, looking at it, there was an air of arrogance about it. They arrived, you know what I mean, we're just going to stroll through this, that, you know, Sun headline, easy, you know, it was just...
Well, they strutted in, they got that first goal, and then they sort of tried to ride that all the way through qualification, which didn't quite
work.
But
all around them, there was teams that were just so excited to be there. You look at the USA, you looked at Algeria, you look at Slovakia, they were so excited. This is the greatest moment of their life. They're going to make the most of it. They're going to run till the burst, and England trot out, go, yeah, it's nice being around here, isn't it? Oh, I'll have all this. Yeah,
and
what, go shopping later?
Yeah, let's go shopping later.
Isn't that horrible if that's actually the truth? If it's simply the fact, I mean, because of course that's what we all fall back on, and then of course the next theory go, yeah, but of course that's much too simplistic.
Well,
but
it
is actually the truth, is they're just a bunch of stuck up, over, you know, spoilt brats who thought it would just happen.
Overpaid and slightly too old, with a sense of entitlement that they haven't earned, and some of the nations you mentioned are brand new nations because of the collapse of the Soviet Union. You go, we are a country. Apart from coming third in the Eurovision Song Contest, this is our only chance to make a real impact on the world stage.
And also, you know, from the England players not realising, not truly realising.
No one's afraid of us. No one's like, oh, crikey, it's England.
But also the positive effect that a good football campaign internationally has on the country. You know, you look at the Ghanaians and especially the Chileans. You know, there's been an earthquake in their country.
Yeah.
They're living in shanty towns, and the Chileans are playing for the pride of their country and knowing they're carrying the love of their country.
So with a ragged flag that was pulled for the ruins and stuff like that, which kind of gets back to the point.
Whereas the England team can't go, come on, this is for VAT.
Yeah, that's
this
right.
This is
exactly
what we're fighting for.
You know, that's right. It's what we are. The extra 2.5%. We're there for you.
Child benefits.
Right,
bang. That's what that goal was for.
Which kind of gets back to the point, can you see a perfectly decent rationale behind the idea of our big players, you know, just basically hiding in Europe at really, really nice football teams?
Like gangsters from Essex in Costa del
that's
Sol.
True. Yeah,
just
going to
lie low for a few weeks
in Leverkusen.
Costa del Leverkusen.
Oh, I love a bit of sauerkraut. I'm over there now.
Galatasaray, sounds all right. Food's a bit spicy, goes right through me. Yeah. Whatever.
Leverheinrich.
Well, and it's in their own way, then perhaps England have created a brand new dynasty by being rubbish this
time. I'd just like to say, in a way, it is delightful that England didn't win the World Cup because we didn't have an official song. And I'd hate to think that we won the World Cup and we'd all be running around going, yeah, webuyanycar.com.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of the closest.
Someone doesn't listen to the top of this podcast properly. Yeah. Someone in this room, Gordon, called
Hello.
Gordon.
Yeah. But also, there's the other factor as well. Do you think it. you know, they were actually scared by the headmaster that is Capello. To think that, you know, that what they wanted was to get the arm put round and be told, like, the rest of the manager of the Premiership have to do to these star players.
Molly
and
Coddle.
Bring them in and go, like, come on now, Wayne, you're doing all right, lad. That's it. Come on, come on. I don't want to come off, Dad. You've hurt your ankle. Dad, I want to play. Come on now, Wayne, now. Come on now. You know what I mean? Even Ferguson was acquiescing to Wayne Rooney. You know.
Do you think Capello took a dim view of players calling him Dad?
Yeah. Sort of nuzzling up to him.
Yeah. Know, Dad. Yeah, hold just give us me Xbox.
Every time he got in the car, there was six of them all on the back seat. Yeah. Sitting there. They all just want to go to McDonald's. Yeah.
McDonald's is different in Africa.
Yeah. Yeah. All of them sitting at the back, apart from Sean Wright Phillips holding his hand like the lollipop lady.
I just want to chuck in here, lads, you know, just in case we actually get bogged down in discussing real things and confusing people. World Cup podcast facts, which of course is a very much part of It Will Go to Penalties' entire gamut. You get all the links to Facebook, Twitter and iTunes at worldcuppodcast.com. Here's some interesting thoughts from various listeners. I'm assuming they are there. And well done all you various people out there.
I love the various.
They are. They're great, aren't they?
Yeah, I've got all their albums.
King Juan Sebastian Verón is allergic to Tizer.
Facts.
I'm kind of just going to leave that floating. If Ghana win the World Cup, John Panzer will run multiple laps around Vanessa Phelps carrying his Ghana flag. He'll get three quarters of the way.
She gets a lot of hammering, doesn't it? Poor Vanessa.
No, neither that.
She's a great broadcaster.
Yeah,
I've got a bag of dicks I wouldn't give her one, but she's a great broadcaster.
I'm just going to read that Juan Sebastian Verón one again. Try and cover, you know, sort of blow over that moment. Diego Forlán received a special good luck message from Sally Gunnell.
Thanks for lifting my profile.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we are one in the same. Ronaldinho didn't make the Brazilian squad and is spending his summer holiday canal boating in Leeds. There's no canals in Leeds. Someone's having it on, aren't they? No one's putting the wool over my eyes. There's no German word for David Batty. I can see
but
that.
If there was, it would be very
and
long.
One. Yeah. Now, just before we move on to Friday's games and have a quick look at where we see the World Cup going, I'm completely confused by one thing in particular about this World Cup. How does 48-hour protection work on those Eric Cantona adverts?
What, the deodorant?
Do you not wash your arms, armpits for 2 days? Is that the idea?
The theory is it's something to do with silver. That's all I know.
What? Do you rub silver in your oxters?
Can that work? I'm not prepared to try not washing myself for 2 days under the armpits and being in public to see if there is 48-hour protection. I'm not going
to
do it.
I tried it the other day. I sellotaped 450 pence pieces to my scrotum. Freezing. Freezing.
Icy.
Oh, yeah. It was like a walnut of love.
You made it. I think you should have gone for ones and twos and trusted in the copper.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than the silver thing. That's the mistake you've made.
Like an armadillo of love.
Although, of course, that scrotum could easily have been tucked in the sock with £2 of ones and twos.
Especially
and tape to it, couldn't it?
Yeah, just a cosh.
Oh, don't talk about. Oh, yeah, my pants aren't the same pants in this weather.
In my leg like
I'm having murder
on a
absolute velvet murders,
oh, it's like a hairy paste smeared down the inside of my leg.
I've got a lollipop stick to get mine.
Thank God I'm not the only one. Thank God. So that leads us nicely to Friday's games, doesn't it?
Yes, of course.
I'm sure it does.
It's still going to be hot.
What a segue!
I want to know how Dirk Kuyt is looking, such the footballer that he is, Gordon.
My theory about Dirk Kuyt,
does graft, but suddenly he looks like there's a bit more about him.
I've got a theory. They let him play in the middle where he wants to, and he's got the two best wingers on either side of him on earth. That seems to make him shine.
Yeah, how could that be?
It's like when you put Gerrard on the left, he sort of sulks a bit and goes, "Why can't I be in the hole?" Yeah. And we're not saying what sort of hole that might be.
No.
Hey, hang on. No, I think Kuyt's been great. You know, he's been. I think he's learnt to not be as arrogant as the rest of his teammates by playing in Liverpool.
Yeah,
bring you down a peg or two.
What do you reckon? I mean, the Dutch theory goes they arrive at the Brazilians having had a relatively easy ride so far. I mean, let's look at the other way around. Are Brazil the team that everyone perhaps thinks or hopes they are? I mean,
Brazil just look really good this year.
They do, don't they? Which is that because they're good? This is a bit confused. about.
Yeah, they are good.
Don't deceive me. Yeah. They look good because they are.
And also they are strolling around a bit as well. You know what I mean? They do look like they're about second heading into third gear. They don't look like they're straining. You know?
I love the fact that they're talking about both Brazil and Spain in terms of these gearboxes that have got more in them.
Yeah, like a Seat.
Yeah, which is basically a Volkswagen, but with a different shell.
And the last place that the Beetle was made was in Brazil.
So it's all about which Volkswagen.
It's all about the Germans.
Yeah.
You can't discount.
So, are the Dutch got themselves a chance against Brazil? We've heard the Paddy Power odds. I mean, everyone's loving Brazil as a finalist team. Can the Dutch scupper that?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to stick some money on a Dutch Argentina.
You ain't got
final.
No money. You got Stenhouse Muir. Remember,
I'm going to do it in the real world.
Oh, okay.
What?
Outside the bunker.
Are they still alive out there?
Where S. Muir Esquire doesn't live. Exactly right. So you've given them a shout then against Brazil. Yeah,
I think the Dutch. I think the Dutch have been playing really well. If Van Persie will pull his neck in, I think, and let the, for the first time ever, for them to play as a team, as a unit, not as, you know, a series of geniuses who have been pushed together, you know.
They have resembled that, haven't they? Which is a bit of a shocker for the Dutch, isn't it? Yeah. So that's good. How about you, Gaunt?
Well, it could be exciting simply because the Dutch have got really powerful wingers. And that's where the Brazilians always push forward, is having these fantastic wing-backs who are almost strikers in their own right. So it could be interesting on the sidelines. I'm going to sit on the fence because I think it will probably be... No, because then if I'm not sitting on the fence if I say that. I think Brazil are going to win. There you go.
Oh, OK.
I'm off the fence. I was on it, I'm off.
There
it.
You were off. The other game, of course, on the same day, gives us Uruguay against Ghana. And... a couple of people's choices kind of teams at the moment. I think, you know, Uruguay, because they're plucky and they've got someone we know because Thiago Forlán plays for them. But in the
conveniently
terms of,
scores all the goals. Yeah, like, that's right. Yeah, Premiership. Come
that
on,
makes, that makes,
like
makes
he used to do easier. For United.
Yeah, but yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
So sad.
They gave him that pen. They gave him a penalty to take, didn't they? That was.
Oh, he was so loved as well.
Like when you give a rabbit and you hold it for the kid to shoot it. Come on! Oh, don't shoot my hand. Oh, yeah, it was not for you.
Clearly a decent football player.
Get him a hatchet.
But what about, I'm all about Ghana because I'm loving the idea of just Africa still being represented. I mean, call me the Walt Disney. Actually, that's a really bad and inappropriate comparison, isn't it? Walt Disney, the last team Walt Disney's back in is Ghana.
The Pee Wee Herman, is that helping?
Exactly. Okay, right. So Julie Andrews, I'm going to be Julie Andrews for the rest of this sentence, and suggest that I think it's great, simply great that Ghana are there representing the continent on which the World Cup is being played, not least of which I've enjoyed watching them play, and they're looking a decent team.
Great side. I think it'd be hilarious if, should they get knocked out, all the Vuvuzelas just stop, as if there's some agreement, go, there's no African sides left, no more Vuvuzelas.
Do you know what?
It'd be ghostly.
They were doing three-part harmonies the other night. Did you hear that? That was great.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I have a theory, because when South Africa got knocked out, they were still blowing on them with sad faces. And it's like President Zuma has said, if you keep blowing them, it will frighten off the AIDS virus.
There you go.
That's my theory.
There you go. Thank you, Julie Andrews.
That's right. And there's me thinking I was the nun in this little trio. But
I was the meat in this love sandwich.
The Vuvuzela sleeps tonight. A whim away. A whim away.
With the three lions.
But it can sound kind of melancholic and tragic, that instrument. I hadn't thought of it in those terms, where it's celebratory thus far. But Ghana have given themselves a good chance to be the most successful African team, though, haven't they? Really,
it'd be lovely.
Because Uruguay's probably a good, you know, I mean, with all brutal honesty, they're beatable, aren't they?
Yeah,
for Ghana.
For Ghana, definitely. I think Ghana's proved that they can play a good match, but also they're so fit and they're just tenacious. And Uruguay are much the same, you know what I mean? So I think it's going to be a really interesting match. And, I think Ghana, come on, let's see it.
That'd be nice.
Because they've been. Within Africa, they were the underdogs as well. Yeah. You know, nobody's really expecting them to do as well as they've done. You know what I mean? I think it's fantastic to be representing, you know, that continent.
And just before we go, then, chaps, how about? I mean, we've heard the Paddy Power odds. I think the favourite for the final was Brazil Argentina. I seem to recall, if I remember correctly. Does that make absolute perfect bleeding sense? I mean, yes. It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
I think it does. Although, Germany always in with a chance.
But then that makes sense too.
Yeah.
Well, stop. Everyone, stop making sense at this particular
okay.
stage.
Ghana, Paraguay possibly doesn't make sense.
Thank you kindly.
There we go.
We've got August approaching, which doesn't necessarily mean a mass exodus of over 30s Premiership players to foreign climes. It also means, I'm guessing, a bit of graft up in the Edinburgh area. You two chaps.
No.
I thought you were going to say Masters football.
Well, that'd be nice to see, wouldn't it? Come on, you over 35s. Get those shin pads out. Are you going to Edinburgh?
I'll be up at the Tron for Edinburgh doing my new show, Borders.
Mm. I'll be landing my garden in France, giving the finger to everybody who's in Edinburgh.
Oh, well, thank you, Michael.
There you go. Stick it up your arse.
Even if we can't see that finger, it's good to know it's there.
Yeah, sort your prostate out.
Thanks. I'm getting to that age.
Well, you know.
And on that joyous note, you have been listening to Gordon Southern, Michael Somali and Mark Webster on It'll Go to Penalties. Next show up, I do believe, Omi Jalili, DJ Teo, and the return of Keith Dover is appropriate to your next broadcast. So, gentlemen, thank you very much. That's that one put to bed. Thank you, lads.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Get all the links for It'll Go to Penalties at worldcuppodcast.com. And get your free £20 bet at paddypower.com/worldcup.